God is our strength in distress. Psalms 18 is one of those passages of Scripture that is very profound, powerful, and comforting. But to understand the significance of this chapter to its fullest, we must understand the circumstances in which the writer, David, was facing. The emotion behind Psalms 18 begins in 2 Samuel chapter number 1, where we find the death of Saul, Israel's first king. 42 years after being anointed, God had finally had enough of Saul's disobedience. And as a result, Saul and three of his sons, including David's best friend, Jonathan, are killed in battle. By the time David pens Psalms 18, it has been over 25 years since the old prophet Samuel finds the young shepherd boy, the youngest of eight, the smallest, and voted least likely to succeed. Samuel was sent by God to let the ruddy son of Jesse know he would be the next king of Israel. Now, over 25 years later, David has been waiting for the promise of God to come to fruition. David has been through many distresses in life at this point. It is these distresses include 8 years for which he had been running for his life from Saul. Think about this, a man who he loved, who he fought for, who he respected like his own father. For 8 long years, David was stripped of his position, deprived of his family. He loses his best friend, Jonathan. For 8 long years, David's reputation was tarnished, being at the top of Israel's most wanted list. We can read about how David felt about this in the Bible in Psalms chapter number 57. You can read Psalms 57 and see how David felt as he hid from Saul in the cave of Adullam. In Psalms 57 verse 1, David says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." The Bible describes the war between David's house and Saul's house as long. It was a long war. You know, you and I today, as we face distress, and yes, I, of course, am referring to the distress we face now as a society, but even beyond that, in our daily lives, our distress sometimes comes through financial calamities, it comes through sicknesses, it comes through issues and problems with our families. As we face these calamities, one of the hardest things for us to deal with is the unknown factor. What's going to happen? Not just the unknown factor, but when is it going to happen? We don't know when or what. And not just that, but the lack of control over our situations. David did not know how long it would be that he would have to run from Saul. One of the things that makes distress so difficult in our lives is the unknown factor and the inability to control the situation. Right now, I think about as we get communication and through the email, we get communication to our phones or we read a news article, and sometimes we can feel very out of control of what's taking place around us. And in distress, when we don't feel like we have control or there's the unknown factor, it can cause our distress to multiply. It can exasperate that distress. There were times in David's life when he could have raised his hand against Saul and he could have taken control. We see David several times had the opportunity to kill God's anointed, but David recognized that he would be in the wrong. And David recognized and he understood that God was not just in control of David, but God was in control of Saul. And so David did not take matters into his own hands, but he trusted in God. Distress combined with the unknown, magnified by the lack of control over our circumstances, can be a cause for great fear and anxiety. It can cause us to despair, and if we're not careful, can cause us to lose our faith in God. But we see David, he did not lose his faith in God. David does not sink into despair. David shows us in his faith, and he shows us his faith by responding to God with faithfulness in God and trusting in God's faithfulness. David creates a record in Psalms 18. And as we read the chapter today, we can see how David responds to God in all of this distress. Psalms 18 was first written by David in 2 Samuel chapter number 22. You don't have to go there now, but at some point in time, go back to Samuel 2 Samuel chapter 22. You can read the first draft of Psalms 18 as David goes back and he writes this beautiful prose about how God triumphs over distress in David's life. Then David creates a record out of Psalms 18. He goes back through his writing and he creates a record, a psalm that he gives to his musicians, and it becomes something that can be played in the temple of God, and it can be sung. Even we sing songs out of this psalm in the church today. Isn't that wonderful? What is so special about David's response? What is so unique about his response in distress? And can we as Christians emulate David's response? Can we emulate his response? Obviously today, America is in distress. Spiritually, America is in distress. You can say amen right there. Economically, America is in distress. Socially, America is in distress. But beyond that, families are in distress today. Whether it's public or private, families are in distress spiritually, emotionally, physically, economically, in distress. And in distress, in the midst of distress, is there strength found for the Christian? May I say today, yes, yes, yes. Yes, there is strength for the Christian today. There is strength in our distress. There is strength in our spiritual distress. There is strength in our emotional distress. There is strength in our economic distress. There is strength in the midst of distress for the Christian. Amen. Today, I want to show you five responses quickly, but five responses that David gave in distress. Number one, if you're taking notes, by the way, I believe we emailed these notes out. Brother Asprelli said we did. I'm going to believe that we did. And we'll email those out. Maybe you can pull those up and follow along in the notes. But number one, David responds. Here's what he says. If you look at verse number one, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Here's what David responds first. I will love thee. I will love thee. David responds to his God in distress, God, I'll love thee. And even though all these things happen, and even though the bad things in life happen, and even though Saul is trying to kill me, and even though I can't see my family right now, and all these things that are going on in my life, David says to God, I will love thee. I will love thee. In distress, David recognizes the importance of the first great commandment. Would you take your Bibles and go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6? Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and we're going to look at verse 4 through 5. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 4 through 5. The Bible says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. There is no caveats in that verse. There is no circumstances in that verse where we could say, well, God, I don't love you because you're not doing what we want you to do in our lives. And God, we don't love you because you're not taking care of me the way that I think you should take care of me. And God, I don't love you anymore because you didn't allow this to happen and I asked for that. No. No matter what takes place in our life, we can still love God, and we should love God. Amen. David says, I will love thee. You know, in distress, in the midst of distress, who, are you listening? Who or what we run to shows who we love or what we love. I have two great illustrations of this that happened in my home this week. Two times this happened. The first time, I can't remember what day it was, but one of my sons, Brother Asprelli, do you have a pen on you? I'm going to borrow your pen here. One of my sons had a pencil in his hand. And you may not be able to see this at home. Can we go to this camera here? All right, he had a pencil in his hand. And this is the back side of the pen. This is the front of the pen. So instead of holding the pencil with the front end out, he had the pencil like this with the sharp point in his palm like that. And while the boys were wrestling and playing and you know how boys are. I know you know that. Our house, the kids have been cooped up for a couple weeks, so it's like a WWF wrestling match. Anyway, my son's waving the pencil like this, and the other son kicks the pencil, and it firmly lodges into the hand. And so he said, I went like this, and my pencil was dangling in the hand. And so my wife and I are in the bedroom there, and we hear screaming and yelling, and here comes one of our sons. We know something's wrong. And I'm standing here, and my wife is standing here, and the son comes in. He's got blood coming down his hands, and guess who he runs to? Not me. He runs to his mom. Mom! because mom is the one that can fix it. Mom, you know, she has the healing touch, you know. She runs the mom. And that was going to be my sermon illustration today, but praise the Lord, I have one more for you. Last night, my wife and I are sitting there, and my son Callum's in the room with us, and he went into the restroom, and we thought everything was fine, and all of a sudden we hear, and we're like, uh-oh, what's going on? So he comes running into the bedroom, and he's holding his hand tightly, and again, same thing, he shoved a pin. He was doing something and he shoved a pin and it stuck in his hand. And so we're trying to get rid of all the pins in our home right now and pencils. But anyway, I'm sitting on this side of the bed and my wife is on the other side reading or doing something. And Callum looks at me and he walks right past me and goes straight to his mom. And he starts saying, Mom! Distress, they go to mom. Mom is the answer. Mom is the one that loves them. She's going to care for them and take care of them. Dad, you know how dads are. Dads are like, you're fine. Get over it. You know how dads are. But anyway, in distress, when we respond, who we run to is who we love and who we trust, who we know is going to take care of the situation. May I say today, there is no greater comfort than God. There's no greater force on this planet. There's no greater love on this planet. There's no one that can take care of you in this lifetime like God. And I don't know what kind of a distress you're going through today. You might have a deep, deep hurt, a deep pain that nobody else understands. You might run right past the pastor. You might run right past your spouse. You might run right past your best friend and run straight to God and say, God, I need you in this time of distress. David says, I will love thee. Here's our second response that we see David responds. Number two, David says, I will trust thee. Look at verse number two. Oh, I love this verse. The Lord is my rock. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. But David says this, in whom I will trust. David responds with love, but he also responds, he says, God, I will trust you. I will trust you. May I say this today? God is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. Hey, the media is not trustworthy. Hey, the government is not necessarily trustworthy. There are people that we have in our lives that aren't necessarily trustworthy, but 100% of the time, not 99.9% of the time, but 100% of the time, God is trustworthy. Hey, listen, when we learn to trust in God, listen today, if you're eating popcorn, if you're eating donuts, just stop for a second and listen to what I'm about to say. When we learn to trust in God, listen to me, when we learn to trust in God, we can become part of His triumph. Because God always triumphs. Amen. So trust in Him. Be on God's team today. God never loses. God never fails. You see, there are evil forces taking place in the world today. I'd love to stand up here and tell you that everything is hunky-dory and there's a parade of roses outside, but that's not the way it is today. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And Satan is doing his dead level best in his limited supernatural capacity to frustrate God's plans, to ruin God's people, to thwart the plan of God. But oh, Christian, listen today, time and time and time again, the enemies of God will fall.
Yes.
The enemies of God will fail,
right?
Because God is in control. God is trustworthy. God will triumph. Perhaps today, Satan thought, hey, if I bring the coronavirus into the world, Christians won't be able to go to church and I'll slow down the work of God. And all Satan has done, all he has done is put the gospel in the homes of millions of people who would not otherwise darken the door of a church. Guess what? He has failed again, church family. All I'm trying to say today is that Satan can do whatever he wants and he will fail because God is trustworthy. I don't know who's watching this message this morning, and you might be thinking, God, what's going on? God, are you in control? Stop second guessing God. Stop thinking, God, do you know what's going on? God knows exactly what's going on. Get on His team. That's what I want to say. Get on God's team. There's nothing, no strategy, no diabolical plan, No conspiracy, neither from Satan or from man, that can stand against the Lord our God. Amen. The Lord is my rock, David says. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He is my buckler. He is the horn of my salvation, and he is my high tower. God is not tired by distress. God triumphs over distress. Are you listening this morning? God is not terrified by distress. He triumphs over distress. God is not tricked by distress. He triumphs over distress. God is not troubled by distress. He triumphs over distress. And so what does that mean for the Christian today? What that means is we do not tire in distress. We can trust him in distress. We are not terrified by distress. We can trust him in distress. We are not tricked into thinking that God is no longer in control. No, we can trust him in distress. We are not troubled into thinking that God cannot triumph. No, no, no. We trust him in distress today. The Lord is our rock. In him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. No matter what happens, secure whate'er betide, a shelter in the time of storm. I love that song, Nothing Ever Can, Nothing Ever Will. Our choir sung it many times, and I love the song. I choked up every time I hear the song. Listen to the words today and let it stir your heart. Every power on earth and heaven is a shadow in his light. No authority, law, or government challenges his sovereign might. His reign and rule have no boundary. All that is, his hands have wrought. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. We are well aware we were orphans once, bent and broken in our shame. Then he sought us out and adopted us. Now we bear his royal name. Every sin or crime we have ever done is no match for Jesus' blood. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. We are rescued out of darkest night, free from Satan's evil hold. And the kingdom of our Savior's light is our soul's eternal home. Though the enemy tries to steal and kill, what the death of Christ has brought, nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. I love it when our choir sings this. It's the bridge of the song. Our God is victorious. He always wins. He always wins. In love, he reigns over us. He always wins. He always wins. We, the church, declare Jesus Christ the King, for he conquered death once for all. We will live in light of his victory following his gospel call. And when the story ends, we know Jesus wins, for his power cannot be stopped. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. My brothers and sisters, listening all across this great land of ours, our God is not dead. I said, our God is not dead. Our God is not sleeping. Our God is not on vacation. Oh, no, my friends, our God, the King of Kings that we serve, there is nothing that will overcome him. He is trustworthy. What's the third way that David responds? Number three, David says, I will love thee. I will trust thee. And number three, he says, I will call upon thee. Look at verse 3. Of Psalms 18, I will call upon thee, Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I love that song too. I don't know if you sing that as teenagers. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord. I think that's a contemporary Christian song. I don't know. I probably shouldn't have said that. But anyway, number four here, the sorrows of death compass me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass. Notice what David's describing, the distress that he's in. The snares of death prevented me in my distress. I called upon the Lord. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Think about this today. While the world has no one to call upon, the world has no one to call upon, no one, but the Christian does. The Christian does. While the world is in distress and darkness, not knowing what's going to happen, the Christian has someone to call upon. You have someone to call upon. David declares, I will call upon thee. When the sorrows of death compass me, I will call upon thee. When the floods of ungodly men make me afraid, I will call upon thee. Even when the sorrows of hell compass me and the snare of death prevents me, I will call upon thee. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God. And notice what the next part of the verse says. And he heard my voice out of his temple. Hey, Christian, when no one else is listening, God is listening. When no one else seems to care, God cares. When there's no one else to hear your cause, God hears your cause. Oh, my friend, today, I have my phone right here. Some of us need to put God back on our speed dial. Are you hearing me tonight? This morning, I mean. We need to put God back on our speed dial. And instead of getting right on our Facebook and getting right on our Instagram and getting right on our email or get God on the phone and say, God, I need your strength. I need your help. God is listening. Perhaps today you're listening to me and you might be thinking to yourself, I don't know where I'm even going to spend eternity. May I say today, there's one important call you need to make. The most important call you need to make. If you were to die today, I don't know, maybe you were going out to go to In-N-Out, I don't know, going somewhere, and you were to die in a car accident today or something were to happen to you, do you know for sure that heaven's your home? The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The first and foremost important call that you need to make today, if you don't know for sure that Christ is your Savior, is to call upon Him, because the Bible says that we're all sinners. And because of our sin, there's a penalty for that. It's eternal separation from God in a place called hell. Now, you think quarantine, being quarantined for several weeks has been bad. Imagine with me for eternity being in a place called hell. Today, if you don't know for sure that you're saved, make that call today. Make that call today. Pray unto Him. Ask Him to save you. Today, there's a prayer that you can pray. A prayer that you can pray. Do we have that prayer, men? And I put it on the screen today because maybe you're sitting at home and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you today that I have good news. I have good news for you. Jesus Christ loves you so much that He died on the cross for your sins. He paid for your sins and He made it so that all you must do is call upon Him. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to give money. You don't have to do those things. We don't do those things to be saved. We do those things because we love God. And the only reason why we love God is because He first loved us. God loved you so much. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you must call upon Him today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This verse on the screen here is not a magic formula. It's not like you say, open sesame, and magically you're... No. It's a heart cry. If you don't know for sure that you're saved and you want to ask Jesus to save you, pray this prayer right now, right now, right now. If your church family watching this, would you pray with me and ask God that if those that are watching are not saved, they would pray this, dear Jesus, I call upon your name to save me. I recognize I'm a sinner. I realize that because of my sin, you cannot allow me into heaven. I realize the penalty for my sin is eternal separation from you in hell. Jesus, I don't want that. I want to be in heaven with you when I die. Please forgive me for my sins. I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross and paid the penalty for my sins. Please save me today. I'm calling upon you to save me. I'm trusting in you and you alone to save me today. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. I want you to pause your live stream. I want you to take a screenshot and just stop what I'm saying. Stop what's going on. And just right now, wherever you are, pray that prayer today and ask Jesus to save you. And let us know. Please let us know if you do that today. It's the most important thing you will ever do. What's the next response that David gives? He says, I will love thee. I will trust thee and I will call upon thee. Look at verse 20 with me in Psalms chapter number 18, verse 20. The Bible says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him and kept myself from mine. The response is, I will obey thee. I will obey thee. Church, in times of distress, listen to me, please. Listen to your pastor. I won't spend a long time on this point, but there is no greater damage done in our hearts and minds than self-condemnation when we're in distress. When something bad happens, when things bad are going on around us, and then we also look at our life and see sin in our life, there's no greater damnation to our own souls as when we are not walking with the Lord in distress. David reflects on his deliverance that God brings, and he comforts himself in his own integrity. He rejoices in his testimony. His enemies have misrepresented him. His greatest allies have turned on him. David was charged with sedition, treason, and rebellion. He was accused of attempting to overthrow the kingdom, but David rejoices in his obedience to God. Paul does the same thing in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 12, Paul says this, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word." In times of distress, Paul obeyed Christ. In times of distress, here, David has obeyed God. No, these men were not perfect. They were sinners just like you and I. But you and I wake up every single day of our lives, whether we're in distress or not, with the choice to live in obedience to God or to live in disobedience to God. And in times of distress, I promise you, and in times of distress, you want to be able to look at your life and say, God, I'm obeying you. I can trust in you. In times of distress, it's not the time. Listen to me. It's not the time to be plagued with guilt, to be debilitated in our prayer because our conscience forbids it. No, in times of distress, we should fall before the Lord, thank him for his grace, confess our sin, and approach the throne boldly. David said, I will love thee. I will trust in thee. I will call upon thee. I will obey thee. And then lastly today, and I love this part, David says, I will thank thee. I will thank thee. Look at verse 46 of Psalms 18. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avenged me and subdued people under me. He delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, notice verse 49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. You and I today, as we go through distress, at the end of the day, the distress will go away. This too shall pass. It might be a prolonged time. It might be a short amount of time, but this too shall pass. Our distress will pass. And when the dust settles, when the air is clear and the distress is past, can we thank the Lord for what he has done? Can we thank him for what he has done? Right now, pastors across this country, like myself, we're leading through unprecedented times, trying to help God's people through an unprecedented time. It hasn't been in America in recent generations where people were told to stay home and all these different things, but this too shall pass. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. If you have any kind of biblical sense or knowledge at all, you see the day of the Lord approaching, the rapture of God's people. I don't know, it could be tomorrow. It could be 1,000 years. We don't know when it is, but if you have a biblical mind, you could see the day approaching. We don't know. But whether it passes and we get life back to normal or whether we meet the Lord in the air, the question is, will we thank the Lord for what he has done? While the world despairs and complains and moans and whines, will we be thankful? While the world scrambles and panics and packs and moves, will we be thankful? As the world worries and rocks back and forth in their chairs, will we be thankful? Christian, how do we respond in distress today? Will we be thankful? Can we learn from David's story today? Psalms 18. Can we learn after the distress that David went through and he writes this psalm, can we learn how to respond in distress? Will you today, church family, as you're watching this, will you choose in your home, will you choose in your life to love him? No matter what life brings, no matter what God allows to happen, will you choose to love God? Will you trust him? Will you choose to trust him? Even though the hour might seem dark, even though the day doesn't seem to have an end, will we trust him? Will you call upon him in your day of distress? Will you obey him? Will you obey God? And then lastly, when the distress is past, will we be thankful? And while we're in the distress, will we be thankful for what God has done and is doing? If you're watching at home, would you bow your heads with me today?